May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 938. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Hymn 938.
Thank you. as we together from the Word of God, from the Gospel according to John, reading together from chapter 13. The Gospel according to John, and reading together from chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask what it should be, of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. May the Lord bless that portion of his word of truth to us and help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, under thy rich providence towards us, thou hast brought us each to another Lord's Day in our pilgrimage journey. We thank thee, Lord, that thou alone hast kept us and preserved us, watched over us, and hath truly gone before us in the way, that we have known and understood thy presence, thy gracious help thus far, and thou hast brought us to this another Lord's Day in our pilgrimage journey. We thank thee, Lord, for this day. We do pray, Lord, that it may be a day of thought, of contemplation, of meditation, desire, affection, love, worship unto thy great and thy holy name. O Lord, impart these blessings into our poor souls, that we may be drawn to thee by thy Spirit, and have a true zeal upon our spirit to seek thee and to serve thee at this time. And that, Lord Jesus, we may be enabled through thy Spirit call upon thy name and be true seekers of thy face. Do, Lord, then draw near unto us. We pray for the anointing of thy Holy Spirit to pervade over this gathering, and that thy presence and thy help may be upon and towards each one of us, and that, Lord, as we seek to worship thee, or that we might, Lord Jesus, know what it is to hunger and to thirst for thy word and thy truth, and oh, that that word at this time may be more blessed and precious to us than the very food that we eat, even, Lord, that we might partake of the words of eternal life and be blessed by them. And, Lord, that we pray, open up to us and enlarge our poor souls upon thy name, upon thy person, upon thy merits, and all that thou hast done for sinners, and particularly, Lord, that blessing and that truth of a crucified Saviour in the room and place of guilty, ruined sinners. O Jesus, once more, do draw our poor souls unto the blessedness of the cross, and where what, Lord, thou didst suffer and pass through and endure for a sinful rebel race of people. And, O Lord Jesus, bring us again into the wonderment of the cross, that it was indeed truly that death, that thou didst, Lord, lay down thy life, that sinners might live. O, do, Lord, we pray at this time, bless us with that truth, because I live, ye shall live also. O, cause our souls to live, and upon thyself spiritually, and that we may truly be those that shall be profited and edified through thy word, and the Lord Jesus, that we may grow in grace and knowledge of thee. O Lord, we do pray, attend upon each of our needs at this time. Each one of us that are before thee, Lord, have differing needs, differing conditions. Thou knowest each one of us. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt appear unto each, both young and old together. Reveal and manifest thyself to each one of us. Bless us with tokens of thine eternal love and mercy to sinners. Another token, Lord Jesus, in the way, and where we may be enabled again to affirm in our own souls that thou hast visited, that thou hast met with us, that thou hast blessed us with a living portion, thyself, to partake of thy gospel grace, to feast upon thy name. And, O Lord, we do desire and seek these real and true tokens of thy love and mercy to us in the way, that they may be those waymarks and high heaps where we shall be enabled, Lord, to make mention of thy loving kindnesses and thy visitations towards us, where thou hast met with us in the way, confirmed us in the faith and love of Jesus. And, O Lord, again confirmed that we are indeed in that heaven-bound world, and that thou art leading us home and unto thyself. O Lord, we do pray, help us to know these blessings and truths as we continue in our pilgrimage journey here below. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt then draw near to us, watch over and keep and preserve thy church and thy people here. Continue to visit them, Lord, do hearken to all the prayers and the petitions that are offered up to thee in this thy house. And we do pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt be mindful of them, that thou wilt, Lord, cause thy word and thy truth not only to bless thy people in their souls, to do them good and to bring them near to thee, but that there may be others also that shall be gathered in through the gospel. We do pray, Lord, for the enlarging of thy kingdom, that thou wilt gather unto thyself all those whom thou hast ordained to eternal life. And, O Lord Jesus, what a great mercy it would be that this day, that thou wouldest gather into the fold of thy grace some poor, guilty, ruined sinner, seeking to know thee in thy salvation, burdened and troubled by their sins. But, oh, that faith, that God-given faith, to lead them to Jesus, oh, that only remedy for the malady of sin, and, oh, to know the blessedness of that pardon and that forgiveness through the blood of the dear Redeemer. O Lord, these things we commit unto thee, Lord. And Lord, it is the prayer of, Lord, each one of us, regarding those that are near and dear to us, those connected with us in the worship of thy name, our children and our children's children. O that, Lord, thou wouldest show thy mercy upon them, that thou wouldest, Lord, humble them, show to them their need as sinners, and draw them unto thyself. May the means of grace and their worship of thy name at this time truly be that time and season where thou wilt come to them, and where thou wilt show them their need of a Saviour, and afflict them, convince, convict of sin, and draw them to Jesus. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt, Lord, begin that work of grace in the souls, we pray, of each one, and that they may be gathered in to the fold of thy grace. Lord, truly, as we continue in our pilgrimage journey, and, Lord, the solemn truth and the evil and the wickedness that is found about us and in the land, and where the hearts of many indeed are found unto the pleasures and the vanities of this life, and when we consider that heaven and earth shall pass away, the solemn truth, Lord, that man in his ignorance goeth forth solemnly and into this world, and shall know the solemn truth of that being in that broad way of destruction. And truly, where is the pit of hell? O Lord, these solemn truths are before us and in Scripture. And we do pray, Lord Jesus, gather many sinners out of this world and out of nature's darkness. Show them the way of salvation, all those ordained to eternal life. We commit these things unto thee, Lord. Be with us, Lord, each. We come before thee, Lord, poor and needy in and of ourselves. And, O Lord, we do pray that we may be drawn to thee in faith and love, to be true seekers in Zion. And, O, that we may, Lord, take with us a token this day, even that we have been with Jesus. And, Lord, we do pray, be with each one of us in our families, our homes, in all our concerns here below. Lord Jesus, we do pray, be with each of them. Give grace and wisdom, Lord, to continue in thy name. And we do pray, Lord, be with them, Lord, in their labours, their workplace and all things that concern them. O Lord, each and every one of thy people are in thy hands and under thy rich providence here below. We do pray, Lord, help them to commit prayerfully all their needs unto thee. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt hear them in their private prayers and devotions to thee. O Lord, we commit these things to thee. May thy gospel grace go forth this day across this land of ours. And we particularly think of our denomination and those that gather together, Lord. Oh, we do pray that thy word and thy truth shall have free course, and oh, that thou wilt meet the needs of thy people as they seek to approach unto thee. Be with them, Lord, then, and help them, we pray thee, at this time. And, Lord, may they also know that blessing, their souls being drawn to thee in union and fellowship, and that they may each know the blessing, that thou wilt open their hearts to hear and to receive thy word. But, oh, may that be the prayer of each and every one of thy dear people. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy gospel. So, Lord, gather with thy people. Be with each of thy sent servants. Help them, Lord, and give them liberty in opening up the scriptures of truth before thy people this day. O Lord, through thy Spirit, lead and teach them. Show them, Lord, that word that thou wilt have them to speak, and prosper that word through thy Spirit into the souls of thy people. Do, Lord, be with thy servant and help him to speak in thy name thy word of truth. Put thy rich treasure of gospel grace into his earthen vessel. Through thy Spirit, Lord, show him what to say. Lord, may thy servant decrease, and may Christ increase through the pulpit. And we do pray that thy people here indeed may be blessed through the word, and that thy name shall be glorified. So do draw near to each one of us. Pardon and forgive our every sin. We seek and ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 527. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. In 527.
Thank you.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, and reading together from verse 1. The Gospel according to John, chapter 13, reading together from verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I do admit to struggling last evening to seek and to find a word to speak before you this morning, very late, towards 10 o'clock. We were searching through scripture referencing, and coming upon another scripture, the Lord put these words into my soul. And I do believe that they're those words intended and purposed to bring before you at this time. Pray that the Lord will take them, use them, bless them, and that our time spent together here may be profitable through them. Our first consideration in the context of these words of our text: the Lord Jesus Christ, drew near to his disciples to show to them and teach them humbleness and humility. It isn't in us by nature, but oh, how meaningful and how purposeful it is that we should be shown this truth. And by the Lord is setting an example to his disciples and to us today, how that we should humble ourselves under his mighty hand, how that we should know what it is to keep that low place before him, to be nothing in and of ourselves, and that we might know what it is to love one another as brethren. This is one of the great and important truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ: his love to sinners. And friends, when he will bring those sinners together through the cross, they're those, friends, who shall love each other as brethren, seek each other's good and welfare, pray for one another. And friends, it will be so if we are blessed with this truth of this humbleness and humility. And though it is humbleness and humility, being in a very low place, and yet how strong, friends, the church are, because they're following Jesus. Friends, none should be able to sever this love of Christ to his church and people, and that love that they have one towards each other. Devils, friend, will never be able to separate the church. Let us seek for that union and fellowship with each other, and to pray for one another. And we shall need this in every part and aspect of our lives, this humbleness and meekness and lowliness of heart and mind. Let us pray. that we might be more like Jesus and follow him, know more of his nature. May it be our prayer all our days. It is the best place to be found in, dear friends. To know our own weakness and our own insufficiency. And then, friends, it is then that grace will be poured out upon us. It is then that we shall be able to serve him. And it is then that the Lord Jesus will bring us to our course here below. And friends, we shall come to the end of our days in that faith and love of Jesus. And the church, friends, will never be severed from Jesus if they are bound up in this love of Christ in their souls. Just thought of that word in coming to the words of our text. We remember that Jesus now, he has finished his earthly ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ is still teaching his disciples, and then he is still teaching us, although he has finished his earthly ministry. And may we be enabled to know that teachable spirit, that we shall learn and know of Jesus. Now, before the feast of the Passover, I thought of this Passover. Many hundreds and thousands gathered into Jerusalem this Passover. Many attended upon the Passover. Many sought to keep it. It was God's commandment to the Jews. How many came to this Passover at Jerusalem? The hundreds, yes, and the thousands. How many knew at this time of that one here in the midst who was going to fulfill this Passover for his people? For this Passover, the lamb that was taken, remember, Moses instructed the children of Israel to take the Paschal lamb. A lamb without spot and without blemish of the first year, and which was such a type of the Lord Jesus. The lamb was to be sacrificed. The blood carefully caught and in a basin. And it was to be sprinkled upon the doorposts and the lintels of the dwellings of the children of Israel. It was here that when the destroying angel passed over Egypt, passed over the dwellings of the children of Israel, that when I see the blood, I will pass over. It was a very solemn time and a season. Remember that all the firstborn in Egypt, the destroying angel was going to destroy them. the child, the young child, the firstborn of the children, the firstborn of the parents, yes, the fathers or the mothers, the firstborn of the grandparents, the firstborn, all to be destroyed. The wrath of God to come upon them. Very solemn time and season. How important it was that this blood of the Paschal Lamb was taken, sprinkled upon the doorpost, the lintel, and that the destroying angel would pass over. And we must remember that the wrath of God would not come upon them. No, dear friends, the wrath of God would be passed over them. And how precious is that blood? How precious was that lamb to them? But remembering this truth also, it shows very clearly the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, his humanity, without spot, came into this world, and that salvation came alone by Jesus. It wasn't the law of Moses. Remember when the Paschal Lamb was taken, and the Paschal Lamb was slain, and the blood that was caught. Remember that the law of Moses was not yet brought to the children of Israel. Signifying, friends, that it is by Jesus alone that salvation will come to his people. None but Jesus. And I wondered how many really and truly knew at this time, the many that gathered, that this blessed person here should go forth into the cross and to suffer, bleed and die for them, that Jesus was to fulfill all scripture concerning himself. Jesus today is our Paschal Lamb, was sacrificed for us. And this is the blessed person that we have before us, and in the words of our text. And just before we may enter into one or two truths concerning this word, as I've spoken of this Paschal Lamb, may we each have an interest in Jesus, the Paschal Lamb, the Lamb of God, came to take away the sin of the world. It was a very solemn hymn, that first hymn that we sang together, wasn't it, truly? But the hymn writer, the poet, had no other hope, dear friends, for her soul, but what was found in this Paschal Lamb. There was her heaven, dear friends. There she would be seated at the right hand of God. It is Jesus alone, dear friends. And that day truly is upon us. Where shall we stand in that great day? May we be moved to consider these things for our own souls. What we have here, dear friends, are these truths that are most vital to us today and should be laid with such importance upon our spirit above everything else, dear friends. For we bear with us a never dying and immortal soul, which must live on to an eternity Where will our never-dying immortal souls spend an eternity? Will it be with Jesus? Will it be by and through this means here, this Passover lamb? May the Lord bring us to consider these solemn truths for ourselves. Yes, we have many things to attend to here below, rightly so, lawful things, many things to attend to. We must live. In him we live and move and have our being. We must live. We must go on from day to day. We must attend to those things which we are to be responsible of. But friends, may this concern and this desire to know Jesus and his salvation be uppermost in our hearts and lives. I will say that I went on and continued many years, careless, indifferent. Yes, I came to the Lord's house. Cannot say that I missed many occasions at all. But very careless, friends, and indifferent in respect of my never-dying soul. And it was the Lord's mercy that arrested my soul, showed me my trouble of sin, and that was my mercy. I hated then my former life. May the Lord move us each towards him, that we might know not about him in an historical way, but of him, what he came to do for sinners, and that we might each seek the blessing for our own souls, that we're wrapped up in that bundle of life with Christ Jesus. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, we may behold Jesus here, his omniscience, yes, as God. He knew when his hour, when his time was come. We know not, dear friends, do we? This hour speaketh of that time when he should lay down his life for the church. But Jesus, when he knew that his hour was come, our time is always ready, dear friends. I just want to include these truths. Our time is always ready, friends. We don't know, friends, what a day may bring forth, what an hour may bring forth. May we know what it is to be found ready. May we know what it is to be prayerful and mindful of our need of Jesus. Each and every day, that he might keep us and preserve us in his love and fear. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, just one or two thoughts in respect of this. Jesus knew what was before him. He came to fulfill Holy Scripture. what Jesus said previous to this. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? When Jesus knew that his hour was come, he was straitened in respect of that time, that it should be accomplished. That means, dear friends, that time when he would fulfill his heavenly Father's will, that time when he would fulfill all covenant transactions, that time when he should come, that he should deliver his church and people from their sins, that time, that hour, he was straitened, friends. Let us just see the love of Jesus to his people, his zeal upon his spirit, friends, to go forth to the work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Friends, the church are found inside of those words. He was straitened. He set his face, as it were, as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, the love of his church, friends, was greatly upon his breast. We must not forget this, friends. It was so, I know, in respect of all his days, and in particular his ministry. But the church were laid upon his breast, dear friends. Those whom he loved and those whom he would lay down his life for. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, and then the joy that was set before him. Oh, let us just remember this time and season now, the joy that was set before him. Is there a joy, friends, in these few words? I'm sorry, I've just misplaced them. But the Lord Jesus was going forth to that work. And the solemn truth in respect of those things that he should pass through for his church and his people. Oh, it is here. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Was there a joy, friends, that was set before him? What he was going to pass through and endure? Was there a joy that was set before him? Was it thy soul, dear friend? Was that the joy that was before him? That he was going to pass through these solemn here truths for thy soul? That was a joy before him, that he loved thee so much. Let us just see that truth, dear friends, shown to us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, dear friends. for thee, for me, endured the cross, those awful things that he should pass through. A joy in this hour, a joy. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, and then there is another joy, that glory that he should have again with his heavenly Father, that glory that he had with him from before time began. He is now going to enter into that glory again with his heavenly Father. That was another joy that was set before him, to be seated at the right hand of the Father in majesty and glory. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Another joy that was before the Lord Jesus, and that he should ever live and to make intercession for us. But we come to this word. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world, or he came into this world, and as I have mentioned, in the nature of his brethren, perfect, just, true, sinless, but in our nature exactly, except sin, that he should suffer in our nature. But it says that he should depart out of this world. First he came into this world. He came to seek out and to save his people from their sins. He came and sat and ate with the publicans and the sinners. Yes, the worthless ones. Those that were sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came and preached the gospel. The scribes and the Pharisees could not understand the Lord Jesus, that he should sit and eat with sinners. But this was the work that Jesus came to do, and how those sinners drew near to him, sat and ate with him. They had a need, dear friends. Sin. Sin was their burden, sin was their trouble. Grace has shown them their need. And friends, if grace would show us our need of a Saviour, this truth, we will be drawn to Jesus, dear friends, drawn to Jesus. There will be no other hope, friends, no other mercy, but in the blood of Jesus for our sins. That he should depart out of this world. It is a mercy then that Jesus came into this world, to seek and to save lost sinners, to redeem them to himself. And he will find each and every one of them out till the end of time. His work and mission will not fail. The gospel stands good today, dear friends. It will not fail, friends. We sang it in our second hymn. It's the gospel trumpet, friends. And really, in one sense, there was much blowing of trumpets in the Old Testament, friends. But the gospel trumpet, it's like an alarm, friends, isn't it? To the souls of poor, guilty sinners. It's an alarm, dear friends. It awakens them. It shows them their need, friends. Accompanied with the Holy Spirit, it shows them their need. What a mercy if we have a need today, friends, that this is our only need as we come to the Lord's house. A need of Jesus and his precious blood. That is what Jesus came into the world to do. Preach the gospel. To give repentance to sinners. And then this truth, that he should depart out of this world. Depart out of this world. This is very significant and connected with his sufferings and his death at Calvary. To depart out of this world. And this is the work that Jesus came to do. He went forth to Gethsemane, dear friends. And it was there that he was found in agonies, dear friends. Sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. This man, this perfect man. Pure and holy man, sinless man, was going to become sin for his people. Not that he was made a sinner, but in wounds and bruises, friends, at Calvary's tree, and in agonies, the Garden of Gethsemane, his most holy soul. He was going to bear the weight and the guilt of the sins of his people. Oh, this precious Jesus. It was for sinners. And he went forth to Calvary. He lovingly, willingly laid down his life. For his people. And when he cried, "It is finished," the work was done. The church was safe. They were secure, just as the children of Israel were. The blood sprinkled upon the doorposts and the lintels. So now the church was safe. Each and every one in the fullness of time shall be drawn to Christ. Will be drawn to his cross, the blood of sprinkling upon their consciences, to wash away all guilt and defilement, to bring the church pure and holy as he is holy, is a truth. That he should depart out of this world, and through his cross, dear friends, there are many blessings that follow. And we would not be ignorant of them. He said, unto the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the Father, speaks of his resurrection from the dead. And it is a glorious truth for the church and people of God today. His resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and now to intercede, to manage, to rule and to reign for his people, each and every one of them. But this truth also, and as we read together what Jesus said to Peter. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. We're following the Lord Jesus, dear friends. Jesus is in heaven. Jesus will bring us to heaven. He will bring the church to be with him where he is. He redeemed them from their sins. He redeemed them from Satan. He redeemed them from the world. He redeemed them unto God the Father. This is our mercy today. And friends, it is Jesus that will bring us there. It won't be in any strength and effort of our own, dear friends. It will be by and through the work of grace in our souls that will bring us to heaven, that good work that hath begun in us. He will finish that work, dear friends. He will finish the work. And it will be to a good end, dear friends. The church will come where he is. Such was his sufferings and death, dear friends. So the church shall follow Jesus. And friends, just to mention this, is it in our hope, dear friends? Is it a hope that we have, dear friends? Is there some consolation in our soul, dear friends, that this life that we live here below, that there is a more blessed and gracious end and a purpose? That we're not just born into this world, have an education, go to our place of work, retire if it be the Lord's will, then come to the end of our days, and to pass this earthly scene. Oh friends, how pointless it is. Never to know Jesus. Solemn truth, isn't it? But a hope, friends, now, a hope that we're following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And so this wonderful truth, friends, I did think of that truth that that the Lord, he said, depart out of this world unto the Father, but the Father of Jesus, but our Father which art in heaven, is our Father also. Jesus met with Mary, she was weeping. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Friends, there is no greater joy and blessing that can come upon the soul of a poor sinner. That heaven, friends, is our blessed portion, to be with Jesus and see him as he is. May these thoughts, friends, continually come upon our poor minds. May the Holy Spirit bring us, friends, into the truth and the blessing of them. That our lives here below, friends, not the end, friends, for the Lord's dear people, their end is with Jesus in heaven. And they shall pass through, yes, they shall return to the grave. But the soul unto him that gave it. having loved his own which were in the world. And oh, believe that we have here a blessed and a glorious truth. Jesus loved his own friends from before eternity. His heavenly Father gave the church to Christ from before eternity. And Jesus came down that he should come amongst them, and having loved his own which were in the world. And it doesn't mean the time of our unregeneracy at this time. We have spoken, friends, of the blessedness of the cross just prior to this. But having loved his own which were in the world, he came to be with them and to draw near to them and to walk with them, and that they should walk with him. He came to give union and fellowship to his people, to himself. And this is what we have today, friends. Having loved his own which were in the world, the preaching of the gospel today shows to us very clearly having loved his own which were in the world, he comes and visits and draws near. But there is a solemn aspect and a truth to this word, having loved his own, friends, election, divine election, a number, a set number, a fixed number, his own. Friends, that dear lady in our first hymn, all her desire was that her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May it be our only desire, friends, that our names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, having loved his own which were in the world. He does come to us today, friends, and he visits his people, and he speaks to them through the gospel. He shows his love to them. He opens up the blessed truths of the gospel through his Spirit, shows his love and mercy and grace to them, meets their need in the gospel. He appears for them here below, shows to them continually his love. We call upon his name. He hears us. He answers our prayers and petitions, having loved his own which were in the world. He does love them in the world. And we're a part of this world now. But what a mercy it is, friends, to be one of these, his own, sanctified and separated through his grace unto himself. The world itself, friends, isn't our home and our rest and our peace. We will never find any here, friends. But having loved his own, which were in the world, he loves, friends. And he loves today. And we see the greatness of that love from his cross. He causes the souls of his people to live spiritually upon him. He continually declares and opens up his love to his people. His love in precious promises to them. He engages their heart in them. He puts a hope upon their spirit in them. Having loved his own which were in the world, and to the end of the world, he will love his own in the world, in time. May we experience this love of the Lord to our poor souls, day by day, dear friends. May he preserve us in his love and fear. And then he loved them unto the end. To the end of their lives, friends, here below. That love of Jesus, friends, will never depart from them. They will never be severed or separated from the love of Christ. No, dear friends. He loved them unto the end. And then, friends, we think of another end, friends. Not only did Jesus love them unto the end of his life, but, friends, he loved the church unto the end of their lives, but beyond the grave, dear friends. He loved them unto all eternity. An everlasting love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. O, the love of Christ to sinners. O, may we know our portion in this first verse of this 13th chapter of John. That we are his portion forever. And may we continue to seek, friends, this love of Christ in our poor souls. May he preach it to us. May he communicate it to us. Through his word, through the scriptures of truth, dear friends. He loved them unto the end. Think of the blessedness, dear friends, of that love that shall ultimately come to the church when the Lord cometh again and gathereth his people to himself. Those who stand whole and complete through his blood and righteousness, they shall enter and bask, friends, in that love. And friends, the continuity of it and the blessedness of it shall never depart from them. He loved them unto the end. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £640, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who will also preach on Tuesday evening, and God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 723. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Hymn 723.
will tone and bless those things attended to this morning. In thy name, may thine approbation rest upon them. May thy name be glorified. Pardon all that has been amiss and sinful with us. Lord, bring us again unto the evening sacrifice, if it be thy gracious will, where we may gather together once more in thy name. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.